Welcome, Baltimore. Tonight, we're joined by Glorian, the visionary project of musician Joseph Mulholland. Blending electronic beats with acoustic guitar and neo-folk elements, Glorian's sound is a genre-defining experience, one that moves seamlessly from operatic dance anthems to intimate experimental melodies. With a brand new album, Dance Songs for Strangers, Glorian continues to push creative boundaries, crafting music that is both deeply personal and universally resonant. And after the conversation, get ready for a live performance that captures the heart of Glorian's sound. So please welcome Glorian. Welcome. Welcome, Baltimore, to another episode of Sanity Lounge. We were graced with the presence of Glorian.
A local artist, Glorian. It was an awesome performance.
Yeah,
the studio was bumping.
A musician that's come under my radar since we started this. I saw you, I think it was last June at the Compound.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a Baltimore Beat event? Or Baltimore,
it was. It was a Baltimore Beat fundraiser.
Yep. Outcalls played.
They sure did.
It was cool. So we talked back then. Micah was there.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's full circle. And now you are here.
Here I am.
And I just love your music.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
welcome.
Thank you.
I had a request for Catatonic. And
you did. I delivered.
We're going to hear it. It was awesome. And it, right. Yes, you delivered is a good way to put that.
So lead off question, Glorian, is that your real name? Or what's the story with Glorian?
I'm not telling. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, that'd be wild. No. Yeah, that didn't even occur to me, you know?
Yeah.
So no, the name Glorian is, it's a name that's just been kind of like bouncing around in my brain for a while. I always knew I wanted to do, because I've been in bands and stuff, and I knew I wanted to do a solo project, but I just never had the time to get anything off the ground. But then the pandemic happened and the band that I was in dismantled, and I figured that was a good time to...
Is that Joseph and the Beasts?
Yeah, yep. My old band, Joseph and the Beasts.
Yeah, I was reading about that band, but full disclosure, I've not listened to them.
You should. It's a good band.
Yeah.
We were a really, really good band.
So was that in Baltimore? You're from New York, right?
I'm from Western New York, yep. but I've lived in Baltimore for like 15 years.
So that was a Baltimore band?
Yep. So we were there for 8 years. We toured a lot. We released a EP and a record. And we actually have an EP that we recorded that we never released because we ended up breaking up before we had a chance to release it. But so maybe someday.
Because of the
pandemic, and you know, our lives kind of were all going in different directions. So,
gotcha.
But we're all still friends. And I think someday maybe it'll happen.
Yep.
But so anyway, during the pandemic, I decided to call whatever my solo project was, I didn't even know what it was going to turn into. I just decided to call it Glorian because Gloria is my favorite name, and I wanted to add an N to it to make it a little more like androgynous or whatever. And I performed under that name for like a year, and then a really good friend of mine from college texted me out of the blue and said, "Do you know that Glorian is an obscure Marvel character?"
Oh, wow.
I was like, what?
And nice. he sent me pictures of the character.
Like a hero villain?
He was a hero. He was an apprentice dream shaper. And he's from Rochester, New York, which is crazy,
right.
Because
serendipity.
I grew up very close to Rochester, right. New York. And yes. At the time, we had like the same haircut.
Right,
that's so funny. You're like, it's meant to be.
Yeah, I was like, who is? Right? What
I have
is this?
I have at home the Marvel Encyclopedia. The first thing I do when I'm going.
That's so funny.
You should look it up.
Look it up because it's definitely in there.
Well, that's cool though. But it made you be like, this is meant to be. I gotta fucking take this name, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I had already been using
nice,
it,
nice.
Thinking it was just a name I made up, and then my friend David texted me and said, look at this, You've been like catfishing people.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
As a Marvel character.
Right. That's good stuff. Well, let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer, I guess, if you don't want to, but it would be cool if you did. How old are you?
I'm gonna be 45 in March.
Son of a
dude,
bitch.
Nobody. I think the oldest guest we had upstairs was 34.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Really? I got to tell you, it's I a
said
tough call.
I said 33.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I was like 30, the one lady, Elizabeth, 34 to 36, mm-hmm. I kind of was like that, but yeah, man, you look great, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
We were
48.
Off. Yeah, I'll be 50 in September.
Wheel is old as shit. But yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Look, he's about to chime in. I'm only kidding, Chris.
Yeah, I heard the
relax,
cut, but I didn't hear any voice.
We're all friends here.
How would you describe what genre would you consider yourself? How would you describe your music?
Oh, wow.
Great question.
It's kind of all over the place. So I'm getting ready to release my first full-length record. It's called Dance Songs for Strangers.
That's a great name.
Yeah, you know, not all of the songs are dance songs, but I mean, I guess you could slow dance to a couple of them.
Yeah.
But I really went into this project not wanting to stick to a particular genre or style. And so the album kind of jumps all over the place. There's a couple more like neo-folky acoustic songs. And then there's songs that are like straight up dance songs. There's mm-hmm. some more experimental electronica kind of songs. And I wanted each song to kind of stand on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the songs also kind of fit together on the record as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, like Garbage is like a ballad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then Catatonic is, I mean, that's like a get up and move.
Yeah.
Right, and you sound checked with just a straight acoustic song.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Okay, so wait up. What was my question? Your age, you asked...
What did I ask? Oh, the genre. What genre of music?
Yeah, so let me ask you this.
Were this happens. Don't worry about it.
That's okay.
Yeah, don't worry about
okay.
it.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I can
I'm
see
into
it.
This.
Brian's memory sucks.
Yeah, don't worry about a thing, baby. We'll get through it. But so were you a singer, a keyboard player? Like, what were you first? What drew you to music? First question.
Oh, that's a great question. I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere in Western New York. And I was just like a weird kid. I didn't really have any friends.
And you were on it, like you were a farm kid. Like
yeah,
you were farming.
We were. Oh yeah, like get up in the morning, shovel.
And it's cold as shit.
Yeah, get up in the morning, shovel shit, feed the cows. And I spent every summer baling hay.
Right.
Wow.
Like we never went on family vacation. We went on one family vacation when I was like five. We went to the Adirondacks.
That was probably
that's not that far though.
It's not. No,
but
no.
It's probably nice, right?
Oh, no, yeah. That's where Plattsburgh. Yeah, we went through the Adirondacks.
So honestly, it was like. I hadn't really, you know, found my thing. And when I was about like 11 or 12, my brother got me a keyboard, like just a little Casio keyboard for Christmas.
Right.
And I taught myself music theory and I didn't even realize I was doing it. I taught myself how to play chords. I called them pretty chords and sad chords, and they were major and minor chords. But I didn't know at the time. I just kind of like figured it out by ear.
And no history in the family of musical prodigies or anything like that?
No, nobody in my family is really musically inclined. My dad is a pretty kick-ass whistler, though. He whistles like Andrew Bird.
There's something to
that's
that.
That's musical.
Yeah, yeah. There's something to that.
But I don't think he realizes how talented he is.
Yeah.
He just does it when he's... And I'm just like, wow. But anyway, and then... I started recording little songs on a, so I had two tape recorders.
Mm-hmm. That's the old school way.
And
I know that.
I would tape drum beat and like the bass line on, and then I would play that back with another tape recorder and like play another part. And I would just keep going back and forth and back and forth and just produce songs that way. at like 12, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I was learning how to sing and I was learning how to write songs. And I mean, they weren't good, but they were like, they really, I was kind of.
You were figuring it out.
I was building it. I was building the blocks of, you know, my musical repertoire. Yeah. And then when I was like 14, I won a speech contest and I got like $100 and I went to the local music shop and bought just a shitty little $100 Hohner acoustic guitar and a guitar chord poster. And I just like,
that's funny. I remember those.
Yeah. And I just had it hanging above my bed and I just figured it out slowly and then started writing songs on a guitar. And
were your parents supportive of this kind of stuff, or were they kind of like, look, we got a farm like Luke in Star Wars or some shit? I mean,
I think they were skeptical.
Right.
And was this over the course of like days, months, or years?
This was year over years. Like I said, I started tinkering with the keyboard around like 11, 12. Right. And then at 14, I got a guitar. And then by the time I was 15 or 16,
it clicked.
My brother actually, because my brother's 10 years older than me, and he's really into music, but he's not a musician himself. So he was really supportive.
Nice.
And he actually bought me my first four-track recorder. He bought me a Tascam Portastudio, and that was it. I just started like, I was just kind of ravenous, just like writing and recording and learning how to just produce DIY by myself. And I started just like grabbing things from around the house and sampling them. Or like I had a Rubbermaid trash can that I turned upside down and put a microphone in, and that was a bass drum. And
nice. Then
my friend Kathy gave me her grandfather's old snare drum. So I was just I started playing drum beats on a, you know, a rubber trash can and a snare drum. And then I ended up going to college and studying audio production, and I studied voice too. I sang some opera and
is that right?
Yeah,
you have a hell of a voice.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I wasn't unique, a very unique voice. Is. I mean, it's beautiful. You can do a lot of different things with it. It's good stuff.
Thank you. I was a terrible opera singer, but I learned some techniques that I think that I think have become second nature to me now. Like being able to cross over from like my chest or head voice into falsetto and back like pretty effortlessly, like pretty easily. Like that's something I've learned how to do through my training, and breath control and things like that.
Yeah.
But
that's stuff you take for granted. But, and once you learn it, you're like, holy shit, this really makes a difference.
Yeah. But everything else, push it off a cliff. Yeah. Right.
Now, speaking of the opera, I read that you do like composing and things for the Baltimore Rock Opera.
I did. So I did, I wrote, like half, I don't remember how many songs. I think it was like seven or eight. I don't remember. Seven or eight songs for Baltimore Rock Opera Society's play called Glitterous. That it premiered in the summer of, I think it was 2021. And it was supposed to premiere in spring of 2020, but I wrote like seven or eight songs and fully produced demos, like drums, bass, guitars, keyboards, all the vocal parts. I wrote all the lyrics. I originally was going to write dummy lyrics, but then I ended up reading the script and I actually wrote like lyrics that fit with the script.
So how did that come about? Did they come to you, or did you find like the opportunity, just discovered it or read it?
My friend Jay Wechselbaum was involved in Bros, and I've known Jay forever. We both lived in Buffalo at the same time. I've known him for like over 20 years, nice. Probably 25 years at this point.
Cool.
He moved to Baltimore a couple years after I did, and he got involved with Bros, and he became the music director of this play. and asked me if I wanted to be on the songwriting team. And then the next thing I knew, there wasn't a songwriting team, and it was just me.
Nice. Is there, I mean, is there, can you listen to that? Is it on YouTube, or is there audio of that?
I don't know.
If there's
or
evidence.
Was it just like a on-stage performance
like
that
one
you can't,
time
like
thing.
Maybe phone recordings or something? Maybe.
I'm not sure. I mean, I have recordings of all of the demos.
Okay.
But I don't know if there is a cast recording that exists.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a video.
Right.
I'm sure that the Baltimore Rock Opera Society has a video. Mm. To be perfectly honest, I was pretty hands-off once I wrote and recorded the demos. I thought I was going to be a little bit more involved in the process of everything, but that didn't end up happening for whatever reason.
Right.
But I'm really happy with how everything turned out, and I got to go see it, and that was a pretty...
Yeah, that's got to be cool.
That was a pretty strange experience to go and watch this play, this rock opera.
No one knows that it's you did it.
Right, that's got to be awesome.
Like, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was
that's
pretty
nice.
Cool. Yeah.
I had a similar experience to that with the Poe when they had them laid out. I was just wandering around kind of watching people look at these bodies I created about Alan Poe and Virginia Poe, but nobody knew that I made them.
So I just
watched people's reactions and it was cool.
Well, so back to Western upstate New York, you're rocking keyboards, you're learning guitars, you're producing songs, your parents are semi-supportive, they're kind of skeptical. And what age are we at this point in Glorianville?
Well, At that time I was going by Gizmo After Midnight.
Gizmo
that was my moniker.
That was your handle.
Yeah.
Gizmo After Midnight. So you're a fucking gremlin. That's
recently.
What I mean, Gizmo
I
After
guess.
Midnight's a
Why have
fucking
I heard that?
Gremlin.
I've heard somebody said those words to me recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wasn't me, babe.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That is, yeah. And, or I've been having weird dreams.
Yeah, that's some Matrix shit right
Gizmo
there.
After Midnight.
Okay, yeah. So do you want to go into that or what? Just cause that's a cool handle or?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was really into Gremlins.
I got you. As
when
one
I was
is.
A kid.
Yeah.
So were you playing, touring, or gigging or anything while you were living in New York before you came to Baltimore?
Oh, yeah. I played a bunch of... There was a coffee house in the next town over from where I grew up, and they used to do monthly open mics.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I would go there and do just, you know, the acoustic coffee house thing. Mm-hmm. And
but it helps you cut your teeth like out in live performances.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Like
and the first song I ever played in front of an audience was... The Curse by Afghan Whigs, if you know that song. And it's there's a guest singer on that song, and she has the most haunting voice. And my friend Tanya actually sang lead, and I played guitar and sang backup. And that was the first. And then we also played a Cat Power song, and it was
nice.
It was just very strange. But it went really well, and we were asked to come back, and then I started actually playing shit like full shows at this coffee shop, and then I went to college when I was 18. And
in New York, like just local?
Yeah, I went to SUNY. I went to a state school. I went to SUNY Fredonia, which is right on Lake Erie, and it's about 45 minutes south of Buffalo.
Oh my God!
So I went
to get cold as shit.
Oh, it was so cold. There was so much snow. Oh. I was used to it though, because that's where I grew up.
Right.
Imagine their county workers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brian's essential personnel here. So he hates the snow
because
he's stuck working.
It's not about me, Gloria. It's about you. But for God's sakes.
Well, I will say that I was when I moved here. I was quite shocked at the lack of infrastructure for snow removal and plows. And then I realized that like it's not because I moved here in fall of 2009 and February of 2010 was when we had those two
the heartbreak.
So I was like, oh, is this gonna be every winter?
Yeah, that was unique, right.
Yeah, and then
it's like Colorado, you like they don't even close schools out there,
right. Yeah, but in Buffalo, if we would have gotten that kind of snowfall, it would have been like a couple hour delay in the morning,
right. They got better equipment up there. They can handle heavier shit.
There's like three plows per person in Buffalo.
Right.
But yeah, so I went to Fredonia, studied, like I said, I studied audio production and studied a little bit of vocal performance and there was an open mic series there at college, and there was like a couple coffee shops in town, and I booked shows there, and I was just doing solo stuff, and at that point I was just going by my name, by my government name,
which is
Joseph Mulholland.
Wow, Christ, yeah. I didn't even ask that. I don't know what the hell. It didn't even occur to me.
I knew it.
Oh. All right, so Joseph. All right, so go ahead.
And then I would go up to Buffalo a lot and just play open mics up there. And I started getting shows up there. And my senior year, I ended up dropping out of school because I got I couldn't sing anymore. I kept getting really sick because I had chronic tonsillitis. I was sick like every week. So I ended up dropping out and moving home, and I ended up getting a tonsillectomy, and it was a complicated surgery, and it took a long time for my throat to heal and for me to be able to sing. It took like 6 months for me to really be able to sing again. And my voice totally changed in that time for the better, but it changed for the better. And then I moved to Buffalo because I needed to get away from the farm, and could, you know, at the time Buffalo was like the cheapest place, the cheapest city that you could probably live in.
Right.
And so I moved there and worked a bunch of odd jobs and played a bunch of solo stuff. I got connected with.
There a good music scene up there, like,
you know, there is. It's small, but
I never hear anything about like the Buffalo music scene. It sounds weird, but you know. Buffalo?
How far is that from Albany?
It's a ways. Yeah, I think it's like 5 hours.
Just talk about Scott and the radio stations up there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I got hooked up with this drummer and this bass player who were in another band. And I kind of stole this woman's rhythm section.
Nice.
But the band was called Ala, and it was an all female punk band. And then the drummer and the bass player ended up starting a project with me, and we called it the Winter Sleepers. And we put out an EP and toured a bunch, and then we're getting ready to put out a record, and we were starting to get some attention and some buzz, and we got a cease and desist from a Canadian band called Winter Sleep.
Wow.
And we had to change our name, and we're all a bunch of music nerds, so we didn't know what any of this, like, we didn't know. So we changed the name to a name that we thought was really cool.
Which was?
Which is Needle Up.
Needle Up.
But it's a drug reference. It's reference. Yeah. And we had no idea.
That's funny. That's risky.
But we still continue. I mean, like, we put out a record as Needle Up, and we toured a bunch. And
it's attention getting. I mean.
Yeah. And I was in another band called Weather Machine, and that was a really fun band. It was like me and this this performer named Pam Swartz.
You playing keys in these bands?
I like the name Weather Machine.
In the Winter Sleepers / Needle Up, it was just a strict.
I love that fucking name.
It was just a strict 3-piece punk band. So like drums, bass, I had an electric guitar.
Right.
And then in Weather Machine, it was a lot of loopy, experimental stuff, and I did I played keyboards and guitar, and they both were connected to loop stations. And so I was doing a lot of looping, and there were two front people and then a drummer, and we went through like 5 drummers because every drummer we had was like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing.
Right.
I can't keep a beat to this. but it was cool. I mean, we were a fun band.
And what year is it? Like, can you give me a year? Because like looping and all that kind of shit, like what years are we talking?
So Winter Sleepers was 2004, 2005.
Okay.
And then Weather Machine was like 2005 to 2007, and that overlapped with Needle Up a little bit, and then Needle Up was we played until like until I moved here in 2009.
I got you. So, but it was those early years when everybody started.
So it was like the mid-aughts.
Loopers.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Loop stations were like the Boss Loop Station was such a it was such a rite of passage in the music community at the time. It was like, if you didn't have a loop station, you weren't doing music.
Right, 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 right. Right.
But of course now it's like you don't really see people
it's old
looping
hat or something
anymore.
Well, it's like, I think it's just different. It's all digitally, you can loop. Or actually, that's
Billie Eilish does it.
No, you know that 21
Pilots.
Pilots, yeah. That's two dudes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Using Mad. Like,
that's true.
And Mahali from Twiddle, he does a one-man show. And so it's out there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's just evolved from just like a, you know, it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're in New. So what brought you to Baltimore?
I moved here for grad school. When I dropped out of college in like 2001, 2002,
point of parliamentary procedure, Your Honor. You dropped out of high school?
No, college.
Okay. I'm like, did you get a GED?
And no.
I'm
a high
school. The high school dropout, the grad school.
Gotcha. So it was college that you had dropped out of because of your tonsillitis.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then I went back to school in 2007 to just like finish up my degree.
Sure.
But I went back for medical anthropology, which is like pretty cool. But
well, yeah, let's hover on that. Cool. What did you just like? Had you had interest in that, or is that just
kind
something?
Of? Yeah, yeah.
And explain what that field would look like to the layman. Medical anthropology, like.
It's not really a field. I mean, I guess it is.
It's a study.
People do it.
What the difference between medical anthropology and just anthropology is?
Yeah.
Well, medical anthropology is the study of how the human body and disease were viewed in different cultures throughout history. So.
That sounds interesting.
That sounds that's like other like. Countries
yeah.
and
yeah, so right? studying like studying different cultures and like different kinds of like tribes and things
wow,
like that
yeah,
from antiquity
nice.
and
look, I'm it's not about me.
He's boy. The first person. He's the first person besides you or me to use that word.
The word
the
antiquity. Wait, we might have you back for another episode to discuss what you know about antiquity.
Oh
and,
boy.
Drums and
Brian knows a lot.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He's kind of brought me into that rabbit hole a little
and
bit.
And so I don't know, but again, so continue. Yeah. Sorry about
sure.
that.
Sure. but yeah, I mean,
so that is an explanation of that's
yeah.
fascinating
yeah.
shit. So
yeah.
you go back to college, that's your major.
Yeah, and I graduated in spring of 2009, and I had been looking at, because I wanted to go to grad. I went from like not thinking I was going to get my bachelor's to all of a sudden thinking, I think I'm going to quit music and get
right.
my master's degree.
Nice. Right. You're like, I'm going to pursue this.
But I was like, what do I want to do? Like, where do I go from medical anthropology? And, you know, the through line in a lot of my studies was herbal medicine. So a lot of cultures used herbs to, you know, to cure people of various ailments or you know, like support their, just like support their body's natural functions. And so I found it was the only accredited master's program for herbal medicine, and it's in Laurel.
Hmm.
And at the time it was called Thai Sophia, and it was an herbal medicine and acupuncture school. And they have since rebranded themselves, and now they're called the Maryland University of Integrative Health, or MUI.
This is fascinating. So you have a master's degree
in herbal medicine.
That's, dude. Yeah. You're going to have another episode of Sanity Labs, just so you
Diddy.
Know.
You've been looking for this all your life.
I know.
Yeah. I don't really use it.
It's we just got to talk about history and stuff.
But it was a cool program. The
program
doesn't exist anymore. Well, at least it doesn't exist in the way that it did when I went. Like now I think it's mostly an online program, but when I was studying, we went and lived in the woods for a week and it was crazy. It was really crazy. We did we had herbal prep classes where we learned how to make tinctures, grind herbs, do herbal like do tea blends. We learned how to make
any psychedelics. No psychedelics.
No, unfortunately, it was not in the classroom anyway.
Right, right.
That was like, you know, extracurricular.
Maybe. Right, right. We'll get into that.
But yeah, and then I had a little practice for a little while after I graduated, and I also did some. I also did some like curriculum development for a couple other herbal medicine schools that popped up around the country. And I did all that just remote, just like freelance stuff. But
all while you're in Baltimore.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah.
You could still act as a consultant of sorts.
I could. Yeah. It's been so long. I just have a regular 9-to-5 job now. And it pays me more than I ever could have imagined I would get paid as an herbalist. So and it's just boring. I just do like office administrative stuff, but it's cool to like have that degree. No, I guess
that's incredible. Yeah, I had no clue. I thought you like, I don't know what the fuck, but yeah. I didn't think it was going to be medical anthropology.
The jackpot,
right? And I
have a degree in herbal medicine.
Right, antiquity is the key. So you're in Baltimore. You do the graduate thing. Your parents are happy as shit, no, or what?
I think that my parents are just, I think as I've gotten older, my parents are just like, he is just going to do whatever he
wants. Because that,
do your parents still live in New York? Do they still have this farm?
Yeah, they still live on the farm. Yeah. They don't really have animals anymore, but my dad's still, you know, my dad still like putters around and stuff, and they still grow food. Like they still have. They have two gardens and they grow a bunch of produce and
are they still like doing the gardening and shit like that? Man, God bless them. I mean, that's hard work, you know. I mean,
my parents are pretty spry.
Yeah, well, especially if you've done it your whole life. It's probably
all the vegetable gardens I've had weren't very good.
Well, Ware Davis, you have
a good gardener.
Oh yeah, Joanne. My wife is a really good gardener. She's very meticulous and cares and stuff like that. It's good stuff. Okay, so now we're in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. You graduated. And what was the band that you had said?
Joseph and the Beasts.
Joseph and the Beasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, was that the hit? Like, what's your history to how you got to where you are now, like band-wise?
Sure, when I moved to Baltimore, I just kind of decided I wasn't going to do music anymore. I
lost the fire, or
I think that living in a smaller city like Buffalo with a smaller music scene, I think that I just kind of felt like I was like a hamster in a wheel.
Right.
Like I wasn't really like I was putting out music and performing, but like I was just like performing to the same people.
Sure.
And like, I just kind of, I performing the same bars and clubs. And so when I moved, I was like, I'm going to like maybe retire for a bit. Maybe I'll come back to making music and maybe I won't. I don't know. So for the first 2 years that I was in grad school, I didn't really play music at all.
Hmm.
And then I picked up my guitar one day and I just started writing out of nowhere and ended up writing a whole record that I ended up releasing as under my regular name. It's the album's called Problematical Animals. And it's just like a very DIY homemade record. But I started booking shows around town in like 2011, I think. And so people started hearing my music. And at the time I worked at Golden West Cafe in Hamden, and which they used to do really, they used to do shows there. I mean, like Jonathan Richman used to play there, and Y Oak used to, cut their teeth on the stage at Golden West. So
I've emailed Jen Wassner.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to work with her. I worked with J.B. Hunter.
I like her. I like Y Oak and Flock of Dimes. Like all her projects are fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, but when I started working at Golden West, I used to wait tables with her and didn't even know that.
That's awesome.
I didn't even know that that's
cool,
who
yeah.
she was.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I started playing shows, and that one of my first shows was at Golden West, and it a lot of people I worked with and a lot of people in the scene heard me, and I started getting, you know, I had some friends that were like, we really like these songs and we want to help you play them. We want to, you know, we can tell that there's more going on in the songs than what you're playing with just a guitar. So,
right.
So that's how Joseph and the Beasts was born. At first we performed as Joseph and the Problematical Animals, and that was just a lot. It was just a mouthful, so we shortened it to Joseph and the Beasts, and then we decided that we were a band, and we put
that's
out.
That's a great name.
Yeah. And then we, you know, we put out a couple records. We toured a lot. We had some really fun. We had some really fun tours. We had some really great shows. We like put out videos. We, mm-hmm. you know, we did a lot. And then the pandemic hit, and I think we all just kind of decided to go to our corners. And
right. Fucking pandemic.
Yeah, one of my bandmates moved to DC. Another one had a kid. Another one moved to Frederick, and it was just kind of like.
Do they still play instruments?
Yeah.
Are they in bands or playing out or anything?
So Greg, my old drummer, is now the drummer in Nub.
Mm-hmm.
No. They're a pretty cool band.
Nub.
Yeah. And then my other two bandmates, I don't think that they're in bands right now, but I know, you know, they're both still music lovers. I know that for sure. So I only bring it up
because one of the things we can do is get Joseph and the Beasts in here for the reunion, man.
Oh, my God. Shit. The reunion episode.
You can come back and play with your band if you want.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Reach out. Say, we haven't played. Let's get the band back together.
We haven't played together in over 5 years. So, yeah. Well, actually, only over six. Wow. I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah. Chris Schaefer downtown, he has his last final variety show at his tailor shop. His band, To the Moon, played. They hadn't played together in like 14 years.
They were awesome.
They're instrumental, and they blew our faces off.
Yeah, dude, it was like The Cure. Like, it was like the music was like The Cure, but like a little bit jammier without vocals.
Yeah.
And we were like, I was like, holy shit, this is
great.
Like, it was awesome.
They're going to come in here in the next, a few months from now, they're going to come in because they're like, you guys, everybody liked it. I'm like, yeah. I don't understand why you broke up.
Yeah, it was just a real cool vibe.
So, yeah, the invitation is open. Joseph and the Beast can do the San Antonio reunion.
We'll see.
Yeah.
TBD.
So, did you go crazy? Like, the pandemic is when you kind of really honed your one-man show vibe? Is that what?
Yeah. Well, I had been trying to figure out how to make the kind of music that I wanted to make by myself.
Right.
And I really struggled with how that was going to look live. I didn't want to stress myself out by doing a lot of like looping or live sampling or anything like that. I really just wanted, I was like, look, I'm going to, you know, do drums and bass as backing tracks. And then any keyboard, like, cause I have a couple vintage keyboards. I have a couple Insonics that are super finicky and really heavy.
right.
The sound banks actually look like little Nintendo cartridges.
Oh, shit.
And like Nintendo, you know, if you put a Nintendo cartridge in, and you remember, like, if it had fuzz or whatever on it, the color would be weird, or like the frame would be a little bit off.
Right.
Well, it does, like, in Sonic sound banks do that too, but that's just funny. it just fucks with the sound, and it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity when that happens. Like, if you find a sound that you like when it's acting finicky, you kind of have to like strike while the iron's hot, because you're never going to be able to recreate that sound again.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So a lot of the backing tracked keyboard parts and synth parts that you hear are from my Insonic when it's spazzing out.
Right. That's cool. That's really deep trivia.
Yeah. And then I, you know, I was like, I want to have a keyboard like on either for either hand. And then like a little, you know, chaos oscillator to like fuck around with. Right. And then just like bring my guitar in when I want. And so far it's been working for me and people seem to really be into what I'm doing. So, I'm glad I found a setup that works because I really racked my brain for years trying to figure out what to do because I'm also not a very tech savvy person, but thankfully I know a lot of people who, my friend Sarah Michaels, she's a huge like tech nerd. I told her what I wanted and she's like, I know exactly.
See, it's great to know somebody like that. Because
she was like, I know exactly what you need. Right. You need this, like, you know, you need this sampler. We're going to swap it out for a 1 terabyte memory card. Mm-hmm. You like need these connections. You need that. Like, and I was like, all right, girl, help me out.
Yeah, that's good shit.
I'm not technical with this stuff, man.
Right.
Not at all.
So, Glorian, drugs, psychedelics.
We're going there already.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just curious.
We dabble.
I like to inquire about the history. We like to go into philosophical stuff.
Sure, sure. Let's do it.
So I'm just curious, like, what do you have a history with psychedelics or not?
Not really. I mean, okay. I've done mushrooms a couple times.
When you were young and wild, when you were older and wise, both?
Kind of both, but I've never had like a really significant effect from it.
Is that right?
And the only thing that I've really noticed is that my vision gets really clear.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Really crystal clear.
And that's one of the that's a side effect I get. Always looking at my eye, my vision has gotten better and I can't see shit.
Right, right.
And I mean, I consume cannabis. Yeah. Right, of course. Sure. Who doesn't these days?
Right.
I'm California sober.
Yeah. Well, no, that's all good. And I always am just curious because you know, we have an interesting history with it and it's coming back around as a bit of a renaissance and we're responsible proponents of it. But, you know, again, I just like to ask people their history and you seem like, you know, there might be some, you know, history there.
Yeah.
So bring
it
up. But, it, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Let me think here.
Okay. So, Elusive Films, I read this today.
Yeah.
So, you're collaborating on some theme music for a TV pilot.
So, yeah. So, I wrote the theme song for a TV pilot for, again, my friend Jay Wexelbaum, the one who got me into...
You've known forever.
Yeah, the one who got me connected with Bros. He started a film company called Elusive Films, mm-hmm. and they are working on a TV pilot for a show called A Nazi on Wall Street.
Nice. I love the sound of that.
And he's a history buff. Yeah. Well, and he's also like an academic. So,
gotcha.
He has his, doctorate in history. I'm not entirely sure what the title is. Anything past a master's degree, I don't know.
Doctorate or PhD.
I think maybe it's PhD, yeah. but he specifically studied like the Holocaust and Nazi Germany and stuff like that. And, so he uncovered this story, of Nazis kind of infiltrating Wall Street, and decided to write a screenplay about it. And so
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Self-produced, self-made?
Yeah, I think that they've been shopping it around to a couple different networks, but
and is it being shot in Baltimore?
I'm not sure.
Around, just around.
I'm not sure if it's actively being shot right now. I think they're still trying to like
sell it,
get some funds together for it. But but I know that they have like a good sizzle reel and all that stuff.
And it probably would take place on Wall Street or in New York.
New York. Yeah.
I mean,
I guess that's the that depends on the budget.
Yeah, you could shoot Baltimore as New York, I guess. Sure, but I don't know. You know, I mean.
But I wrote just a little jingle, I guess, for the opening credits called "You Better Start Digging."
Nice. Well, that's exciting.
And it's kind of like a spooky like alt country song.
Nice. Just,
it kind of reminds me a little bit of like a. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds meets like Black Heart's Procession.
Right.
Did they give you notes or were they like, look, just do your thing and bring us something? You
know? The note was, we wanted to kind of sound a little bit like The Wire theme song, but it didn't really end up sounding like The Wire theme song. But I like it. I don't know. I think it's kind of fun. I really like writing music and doing projects or writing music for projects outside of Glorian. Because I like experimenting and doing different things. Right. And I mean, I do it with my own music, but, you know, like with the Bros production, I wrote like hair metal songs,
right,
which is not something that I thought would be in my wheelhouse. And then I turned around and wrote this like twangy, you know, kind of like moody country song. And then
it's cool if you have creative control over that.
Yeah,
just do what you want.
Yeah, like the outside projects help well round,
makes things easier. It's just a matter of trust. Like, look, this is what we're looking for. I believe you can do it.
Yeah,
make it happen.
Well, sometimes I get bored doing my own shit, and so when I get asked to do something outside of that, and I know that other people are depending on me, it. You know, because I can get pretty lazy when it comes to my own stuff.
Davis knows nothing about that.
So, it keeps my music chops sharp.
Yeah, right.
Do things for other people. So, I really enjoy doing it, and every time I get asked to do something, I'm super duper excited. And I do. I mean, like, I'm also in other bands right now. I mean, aside from Glorian, I also play keyboards, guitar, and sing backup for Micah E. Wood.
Yep.
Did I know that? I didn't know that.
I've told you. I mean, Micah's band, he told me.
Jenna's in his band, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, IS. Yeah, so, she's in his band. There's a lot.
He's coming in, so Glorian will be back.
Nice.
So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be until like July. He said his album's coming. We've been just waiting for his album. He told me January, back in June.
That's how it always goes.
The band's coming in once the album's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And then I also sang backup for Landis.
Nice.
Landis Harry Leary. Yeah. I'm one of the backup singers. There's me, Melissa, Charlotte, and Lala Anderson. Yeah. So we're the three backup singers.
Landis have a car? Like, can he get out here? We want to get him.
We've talked to him. He's interested in coming out.
He lives right around the corner from me. I think, I'm not sure, but he lives right on. I mean, I can always
I'll
give
pick
him
up.
Because
we want to
get him in here as well.
That's, yeah. I think he's got a car. Yeah, he's got a car. Yeah.
I think he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've met him a couple of. I mean, I've seen him, but we've talked to him a couple of times at Chris Schaefer's. He's come to these variety shows,
right.
And I just haven't. It's
the
I'm
Senators,
just an asshole.
Yeah.
I had so many people to reach out to, and he's one of them.
Right.
I also periodically play keyboards for this band called the Selkies.
Mm-hmm.
They very, very frequently go into hibernation for long periods of time. They play like maybe like one or two shows a year.
Right.
But all the people that are in the band, they're all really good friends of mine. So whenever they decide to come out of hibernation and play a couple shows, I always get pretty excited.
Nice.
So I'm in other projects besides.
I think there's one more project that. Are you in a Stevie Nicks cover band?
Oh yeah, well, that was pre-pandemic.
Okay,
there's a collective called White Winged Dove,
mm-hmm.
And I think a guy by the name of Corey Hennessy is in charge or was in charge of that. And he did a couple different performances where he just got a bunch of people together, and it was just kind of like a revolving door of artists. And I couldn't, he asked me to do the first one, and I couldn't, I was going to be out of town, so I couldn't do it, but he came back and asked me to do the second one. And, it was really fun. I met a lot of people doing that, but that was the last time I did that was like 2019. I hope he does another, another show at some point.
Yeah, that's a cool concept. Winterset does their thing that just happened this past Saturday. They do it at the Pie Shop in D.C. It's David Bowie.
Oh, that's cool.
So it sells out, and it's tough to learn a David Bowie song and then a different one every year.
Yeah,
right.
But Glassfault, his band did it. Winterset's a cool. They were like what they gotten kind of. They were debating on what style they are, but it was like a post or. Goth
punk. I can't remember what they said, but it was an interesting episode.
They're a really cool band.
Yeah,
I think
they're
you'd
a
probably
cool band.
Dig
they're
them.
A different kind of band.
Yeah.
But the episode, man, if you watch the show, like, wait till you see and hear the audio.
I'll send you some links. Yeah. Wintersect is a cool, it's a three-piece.
That's a cool band
and
name,
yeah,
too.
And Claudia, the lead singer, she's the bass player. The bass is almost as big as she is.
Yeah.
But her voice is so fucking ethereal.
Yeah. It's like haunting ethereal stuff. But yeah, it's real good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll check it out.
That's awesome.
I think you would dig it. So Landis, you got that. You're rocking all over the place, and you're doing your day job.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and I'm also, I do a cover band with a group of friends every fall, and we play like a series of Halloween shows. Last year, 2 years ago, we did Depeche Mode.
Nice.
And this past fall, we did New Order.
Shit.
And we get like a bunch, like we get like four or five shows like around that like DC Baltimore area, and we practice like all summer. We learn like six or seven songs. And just,
I mean, is what the concept like a musical costume, like because it's Halloween or
we just kind of like dress to impress.
Nice, interesting.
That's cool.
So I do all that, and I have a 40-hour a week job that it's like it's I you know, I don't know if either of you have seen the TV show Severance.
Dude, I want to. Everybody
most of season
keeps
one.
Telling
I
got to
go back and revisit it.
Yeah. I just don't
season
have Apple
two just,
TV.
Season two just came out. It's really good.
Yeah. I know it's good.
But I feel like I'm living in the real life version of that.
I think a lot of people do.
Because I have a corporate job. Ugh. I go by a different name at work. So my actual first name is Steven.
Okay.
Joseph is my middle name. I've always gone by that. My parents called me that from the time I was born. I don't even know why. I mean, my dad's first name is Steven, but I'm not even a junior. So I don't know. There's a lot of confusion. I'm sure, my mom had a C-section. There was probably a lot going on. I'm sure they weren't thinking clearly. They weren't thinking about the identity crisis that they were creating.
Right.
So, from the moment I was brought home from the hospital.
Let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but are they okay with the identity crisis?
Like, I don't know.
Did it seem like, were they accepting of you as the way you turned out to be or anything?
I think
like
so. Yeah, I think that they're pretty okay with me.
Yeah, because that's important. I mean, it's like especially,
Yeah, so I like for whatever reason when I got the job that I have now, I just forgot to tell them that I don't go by Steven because, on your resume. So when I showed up on my first day, like HR had gone and set up everything in the system to say Steven. And I was like, oh, God, I didn't tell them that I don't use that name.
Right.
And then I sat with it for a minute and I was like, I'm going to roll with this.
Yeah, you're like Clark Kent.
Yeah. And it has really helped.
Right.
Yeah. It has created a separation. Like the second I walk out the door, I'm like, Steven is off the clock. Steven is nowhere to be found.
And do they know that you rock it at night that's cool.
I've been in a couple I've also been in a couple plays in the last couple mm-hmm. of years, and like my boss has come to the plays.
Fun. That's good.
She's coming to the album release show.
I'm nice, like, nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be real weird because there's like the venue. Aside from being a music space and a bar, it's also like they do art openings, and mm-hmm. so there's always like art on the walls there. And the current show that's there, that's also going to be up while I'm doing my album release show, is like, it's like queer erotic art. So it's going to be pretty interesting. My whole family's coming to town. Right.
So I'll be like, wow, Steven.
That's awesome. It's going to be pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I'm like looking forward to the
chaos. Yeah, no, it'll be
good. I'm looking forward to the chaos.
Sure.
Yeah. So, well, actually, when this episode comes out, we'll have already been there.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So you're playing, that's March 8th. So this has already happened.
Yeah. So everything I'm talking about was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. But Outcalls and Madison Bailey are playing at Auto Love Bar. Outcalls.
Love
the
Madison.
Same night. So we're going to try and do all of it.
Yeah.
Because the venues are real close
Hollis
together.
Hollis said that they're not far apart.
No.
Hollis
so we're
was
gonna,
like, you ought to do both.
And he said you're not playing until like 10, you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Outcall show is probably going to start at like 8.
Right.
And there's only two acts playing. Yep. So,
right.
I mean,
yeah,
my show starts at 8, but there's three acts before me. So, right. So I'll probably, and you know how shows go. So it's starting at 8 and it ends up being like 8:15.
Yeah, right. Sure. It keeps getting pushed. And pushed
yeah.
And
yeah. So
it'll be a good time.
Yeah. Right. It'll be good. There's a lot going on that night. Yeah. So
are you, what's up?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I'm saying, are you,
Yeah. We can, theme music
was
awesome. A good little, we can just circle back to it all as right. a segue.
All right. Well, so we're movie. I'm a cinephile. Woe Davis is a cinephile. We have a long history of film together, so we like to bond and talk movies with our guests. What would be your top three films, if you could narrow it down?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, again, it doesn't have to
we
be.
We don't prep anybody yeah, for
like,
this
and,
question.
And we're not, it doesn't have to be pressure here. We like everybody to relax. Just if you had.
It could be comfort movies, films, movies right. you've seen the most. And then it can change. You could always call us later.
Yeah, right. It's like, next time through, if we ask you the question, give me three others, babe. It's not, it's very relaxed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's just to kind of get to know you.
Are you a film fan?
I am.
There we go.
Harold and Maude.
Wow, nice. The Criterion, I have it.
Terminator 2.
Oh, God right. damn. These are too bad.
and
it's too solid, choices.
Oh God,
Harold and Maude.
What's a good third movie?
Yeah, take your time, babe. Like,
I really like Being John Malkovich.
What a great film!
It's a great movie. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Spike Jones directed that.
Such a weird concept.
Oh my God!
Honorable mention. I also really love the movie Pecker.
What? Nice. Oh, yeah. John Waters.
John Waters. Yeah. It takes place 100%. In Hamden, which is like where I lived when I first moved here. It was such a weird.
So did you see the film before you came here? Right. Yeah. That's fun. So you were like, holy shit. Mm-hmm.
Yep. This is
right. Yeah. That was your Edward Furlong.
Yeah. God, I was happy when they killed him in the newest Terminator.
Yeah, so wait, were you a Furlong head? Is that why you like Terminator 2 and Pecker? Or was that just coincidence?
I think it was just coincidence.
Right.
I mean, listen, Edward Furlong, I think he and I are about the same age.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So like when Terminator 2, I watched Terminator 2 every day for an entire summer.
Oh, did you ever get down to Universal Studios and do the Terminator, the T2 ride?
No, I wish.
Oh, dude, I wish. God.
It was another level because what they did was they took it, like Cameron directed this 14-minute sequel to Terminator 2, and it's a ride in Universal Studios.
Well, it's not
Florida.
Necessarily a ride. It's you just sit but watch a whole performance. But like the Terminators walk out into the audience.
It's the entire room is three.
Yeah.
It's like a screens. Octagon of screens.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like 3D, and then like a bike will be riding at you 3D, and then a hole in the screen will open, and a motorcycle will come
through.
You don't
see, though. Like, it just appears.
It was fucking spectacular. spectacular.
Is it a real motorcycle?
Yeah. It's like a guy on a motorcycle comes through the screen. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
And he looks just like Arnold.
And he looks like the Arnold.
Actors
and
the actors were
it
good.
Was spectacular. Wow, now, that's that being cool. said, you and know, I don't think there it's anymore. There, right?
Oh, no, hell no, dude. None of the
what
stuff.
What is it now?
Oh, I God. I mean, Back to the Future's not there.
I'm trying to remember what they replaced the Terminator.
See, Back to the Future's another
It's like back from when.
It is hard.
It's hard to pick three.
But when we used to go there on a regular basis, Back to the Future, the time frame but from when we were there to when Back to the Future was released is shorter than to
I
now.
I hate that kind of shit. don't tell me that kind of shit. I hate that kind
I mean,
of shit.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't have any of the damn rides.
The newest ride, the last time I was at Islands of Adventure, the newest ride was Spider-Man, I think.
It's been a minute, babe, because they had Transformers, they've had your Fast and
Furious.
I didn't do
that.
Harry Potter?
No, I still haven't been to Harry Potter land. Are you a Harry Potter fan?
I'm not, actually.
No. Well, so not a fan or just not it? Never
have
read
you
them
tried
or watched
it?
The movies?
I watched the first two movies.
Yeah.
So
you got to keep going. Prisoner of Azkaban is where it kicks.
Here's what I'll tell you. I was with you in the sense of I just didn't get it. I don't understand.
My wife's still with you.
But my wife, I watched them at some point when we were going to Universal last time. Mm. She was like, you have to watch them. Because blah, blah, blah. So I sat there with her and watched them.
That
and
didn't sound anything like her.
I might be exaggerating that accent. But as they go, it's high stakes. Like it's very, it's not like the first two were kind of like, eh, but the third one, Azkaban on, it gets, I don't know. It was much better than I thought. That's what I'll say.
I probably would have eventually stumbled upon the Harry Potter universe if J.K. Rowling wasn't such a...
She saw them. Oh gosh, I didn't even think about it.
We saw them all before.
Yeah,
before she was an asshole.
Right, listen, right. I didn't even think. Christ, I'm just talking.
Do you know the conspiracy theory about her?
No. Please tell me.
Is that she's slowly going crazy because her mansion is like covered in mold. And that, like, her. That
so
her,
it's well, like a Mad Hatter type thing.
Yeah,
like, because of the mold,
makes,
it's making her brain rot.
There's one Zoom video or Zoom interview that she did. I don't even remember when. It was recent, probably like within the last couple of years. But, like, you just see mold on the walls behind her. And it's like, there's nothing else it could be. Because just the way it looks on the wall,
it's
like,
not painted.
Dude, you gotta.
That's crazy.
You gotta get your. So I think her transphobia is mold related.
That's a wild conspiracy.
Yeah, that
theory.
Is a wild
I mean,
conspiracy.
And I will tell you, spores from mold goes back to the psychedelic realm that we
yeah,
were
there
talking
we go.
About.
See, it goes full circle.
Right. Everything comes back to psychedelics. Yeah. Well, so what about other franchises? Do you dig Star Wars or anything like that? I mean,
I do.
You...
I do like Star Wars. I really like. I love horror movies and thrillers and stuff like that. So I love the Poltergeist franchise.
Okay, so let's hover here. Okay,
yeah.
Poltergeist 1, 1982. Poltergeist 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
PG. I mean, that was a PG movie. And let me tell you something. To this day, I go on record saying that. I mean, it's a little dated if you watch it today, effects-wise, but it's one of the greatest ghost stories ever put on film.
Yeah.
There's
no doubt that terrified me when I was 12 years old.
To go into part two
with
that
Kane.
Fucking
Reverend
old man,
Kane.
Reverend Kane, was terrified.
Yeah.
Kenny.
You're all going to die in there.
Oh, my God. It was terrifying.
And I mean, I don't think it gets enough... love or respect, but I do low-key think that 3 was pretty good. That
took place in the hotel.
Chicago hotel.
It took place. I think she went to like live with relatives or
something.
It was
Tom Skerritt
Nancy I've seen
Allen.
That once,
but the apartment that they lived in, it was like it was all mirrors.
Glass. Right. I remember it was all mirrors.
All the walls were mirrors.
I've seen that once.
And so, and like, there's just something about it that is so creepy. Plus, like that. Plus
the production.
The actor died in the middle of, like, yeah, right. Like the little girl died in the middle of making that movie.
Yeah, there's many really crazy stories about the production of that one in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had
that.
An explosive problem. They were doing like in one of the car in the garage of the building at one point. A car blew up or something, and like. It blew up and there was no ventilation and like the whole crew and everyone's down there.
Isn't her death mysterious? Did she have a disease?
I think she got like sepsis.
It was something shocking, but I don't think it was
like unexpected.
It was unexpected and everyone was like, oh my God. And right. I think it might've even been it was sepsis, like internal. They didn't know something.
It happened fast.
Right. All of a sudden, she wasn't well. They took her to the hospital, and they were like, she's dead. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
That movie was notorious in Hollywood for the, like, Hex production, because she passed away.
Yeah.
The thing blew up, and there's more stories. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what they are.
Yeah.
Our problem with the third one was Reverend Cain. The guy, Julian Beck, mm-hmm. is the guy that played Reverend Cain in Poltergeist 2.
Yep.
And he was like 89 or something. I mean, he was old as shit in the Cotton Club, and that was in 1982.
Right.
So he died, and they had to bring in a prosthetic, Reverend Cain, but he was still scary.
I
want to
make a bust
in his mirrors
of Reverend Cain
and shit like that.
Yeah.
What are you waiting on?
No, not laziness.
We'll scare the shit out of Kenny. Yeah.
Like a real, silicone.
Dude, like, and that'll sell. Like,
oh, my God.
I'll just
drive over to his house and put it in his bedroom window.
You are going to die. He'll go, stop, man.
Yeah.
So, any other movies you want to honorable mention? Or?
Oh, boy.
What about comedies? You haven't said a comedy.
I haven't.
And let me ask you this. Are you so Poltergeist is a good one. Well, give me a couple more horror films in the way of Glorian.
I love the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. Nice. I mean, I remember watching, I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which was like notoriously...
panned.
It was panned, but like, I think the director of Nightmare on Elm Street 2 was gay, and he went like above and beyond with like the gay undertones.
Right.
Like all the guys, like there wasn't a single guy in that film that had a shirt that wasn't like half shirt, and like there was all this weird.
Yeah,
and I remember watching it when I was like 5 or 6,
right,
and being like, what is going on? Why do I like this? I don't know why I like this, but I like this.
That's so funny, because now you say that, you're right. It was because it was the two buddies, like they were friends in high school, and it was a lot of gym
just thought it was just 80s.
Well, yeah, it didn't occur to me, but that's interesting.
Right. Is it gay or is it 80s? Right. I don't know. Could be either.
Well, no,
sometimes it's both.
Right, it kind of feels like
that should be a t-shirt.
But that is interesting about like the development of people in general, because like, you know, you watched that and you felt a little bit of like, hey,
right.
It never even occurred to me. But now that you mention it, if I was of that ilk, it makes sense. Where that one, you know, that's why. What about Dream Warriors? The third one?
Dream Warriors. That's when it just started getting fucking wild.
Dude, that's a good one. After Dream Warriors. Yeah. Dream Warriors was great. I love
Freddy vs. Jason. Like, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Wait. 5, The New Nightmare, that concept, I loved it when it came out. Like, remember it was...
Yeah,
I
have that sixth scale figure.
It was in the mid-90s. It was before everyone was retconning and doing the, like a movie in a movie thing. Mm-hmm. It was just an original concept, you know? Like,
yeah.
I loved that one. Yeah. And what about the remake? Did you dig that?
I didn't see the remake.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it. With it's the dude from Bad News Bears.
It's your boy.
God, I can't think of his name. I know his name.
But, yeah, it's the three name. It's Haley or... don't do it. Don't look it up. It's our boy. It's
Rorschach.
Rorschach from Watchmen. It's three names. It's not Haley Joel Osment. It's Billy Joe.
I'm never going to think. It's never going to pop into my head.
It is going to pop into my head.
When I find out
Kelly
what it is.
Leak, and his name is three names. Billy Joe Cyrus.
Billy Jean King.
It's something like that. It's something redneck in a respectful way. Give it to me, Will.
I don't have it yet.
What do you mean you don't have it?
Look up comedy. Let's go to comedy.
Look up Watchmen, for fuck's sake.
I am. I'm trying.
Well,
I can't see.
Honor,
I got it. Haley's the last name. That's a hint.
All right, hold on. Jackie Earl Haley.
There you go.
Whoa. You got it.
You got it.
Good job.
I'm like Haley Joel Osment, yeah. But I know that. And that's the Sixth Sense kid.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
So you're not like a gore fest horror guy. You're more.
Like gore stuff. I mean, like, I like
the Friday the 13th.
Like, I love Friday the 13th. I love.
I guess that's true.
I love Halloween. Mm.
I was thinking about like Saw, Hostel.
I've seen Hostel, but I don't like that shit.
Well, that's what
just
I mean.
Torture, straight right. up torture.
I've seen like People Under the Stairs.
Hills Have Eyes.
Hills Have Eyes is a rough one too, man.
Oh my God, the remake of Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
Yeah,
the original Hills Have
Eyes. But the People Under the Stairs,
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
When it comes to comedies, though, like I'm really not like a big like comedy movie person. I'm more of like a comedy like TV person.
So I mean, like you. So there's no comedy films that you can think of that you're like, God, I fucking love that movie. Like,
I mean, to be honest with you, a lot of the funny movies that I like are Christmas movies.
Okay, right. So what is your favorite holiday movie?
Like Elf is really funny.
Of course, 100%.
I mean, I also
holiday
love
movie, but comedy.
I mean, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Of course, right.
A little full, a lot of sap.
a lot of sap.
Yeah, shitter's full. I'm trying to think. I'm really blanking on comedies right now.
That's all right. I was just curious.
Hangover.
Bridesmaids is pretty funny.
Oh, Bridesmaids is fantastic.
Yeah, that is a really good movie. Yeah.
Yeah, that was surprisingly good. Like, that was one of those ones I didn't see in the theater, but when I saw it, I was like, God damn, that was
a good movie. That movie was like, I remember seeing that in theaters and being like, is she really shitting her pants?
Right.
Dress in the middle of oncoming traffic.
Right, and that was the
Melissa McCarthy was shitting
McCarthy
in the sink.
And who's our girl? Who's our girl from Saturday Night Live? Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig. I love her. Yeah. Oh yeah, I do.
I mean,
too.
She's a good actress. They're both like it was.
Yeah,
a good
I
like.
Yeah. I love Kristen Wiig. She's good
stuff.
Yeah.
She's a really good actress.
Yeah.
All right. So, what about TV show comedies? You got like any honorable mentions?
Oh yeah. Like I love. I know that it hasn't aged well and that she's crazy now, but I love Roseanne.
Roseanne. Like, the original Roseanne.
Cancel
actually,
me now. I love, I grew up on Roseanne. I was DJ. Like, I was like,
that's funny. Yeah.
That's the kind of household I grew up in. Like, my parents were both, like, you know, like, struggling
working class
blue collar workers and you know they had a bunch of kids. They were like always trying to figure out how to put food on the table and like how to pay their bills and,
right
you know, and they were very hard working and you know we struggled, but we found an opportunity to laugh and like make fun of ourselves or each other or like. And I feel like at that time, Roseanne was like, that really spoke to a lot of people.
Right.
It is sad to see like what, you know, the creator of that show has become, but,
right.
But I'm sure she's still fun at parties.
Yeah, man.
Did she just come out with a rap album or something?
Yes, she did, Warren Davis. She came out with a rap track.
A diss track.
Yes, with Tom McDonald. He's the hero of some
Daddy's people. Home. Is that what it's called?
I'm not sure. Home. I just saw it on like a comedy reel or something. I was like, oh,
I thought it was a Saturday Night Live skit.
No, it's
but
real.
I don't think she's
oh, yeah.
But he has. Now, look, we try to unite everybody here at St. Louis. Yeah. But Tom McDonald has a unique brand and a unique audience.
Yeah.
And she fits right in.
Yeah.
Right?
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, you know, it's whatever. To each his own. But it's a wild turn. I didn't see that one.
It's a wild turn.
I didn't see that one coming. Yeah. And, you know. Yeah. But the internet, baby, it makes everybody fucking crazy.
Yeah,
it really does.
You know?
100%.
Are you good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Glorian, listen, this was a fucking pleasure.
Wow.
Let's talk about where anybody can find you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Give your
plug
shout
your
outs.
Stuff.
Plug yourself.
I am on Instagram at _ Glorian. I also just launched a website. What is it? Oh, it's on the back of my CD here.
Oh shit. Yeah, I appreciate that.
GlorianMusic.com.
Nice.
And I have a record coming out March 8th.
Yep.
Called Dance Songs for Strangers. You can find that's going to be on all the streaming platforms. And if you want to buy a record, which is the best way to support me, I have a shop on Bandcamp.
Yep.
It's, glorianmusic.bandcamp.com. I've got pre-orders for my record, digital or hard copy. I have shirts that are pretty cool. It's a three-headed Glorian shirt.
Yeah, I need a shirt.
And I'm playing March 8th. I've got some other shows coming up, but they haven't been announced yet, so I don't want to.
Yeah, is there a story behind three-headed Glorian?
No.
I mean, I dig it. I just didn't know
like
if there was like
the album cover that I showed you with the four arms.
Right.
That's a cool cover.
Catatonic. The Catatonic single.
Yeah. Love it.
It was kind of like that, where it was like three different pictures all kind of stacked on top of each other.
Right.
And then it just got turned into a shirt.
Yeah.
So
nice.
It's like,
so yeah, whenever you have gigs, just get them to me and I'll put them on our calendar. It's whatshappeningbaltimore.com. And we have a directory. If you go to our website, if you go to sanitylounge.com, at the top you'll see Your Baltimore.
Oh, cool.
And you could just register there and just put all your shit on there, and it just builds, like, we're building a whole directory. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're trying to get people, artists, as
and
you know.
And we have a online community that's also at the top where it's like a social platform, but it's for artists and all the Baltimore locals to collaborate. Like, you might meet somebody on there that's doing this music and you guys just don't know each other. You get together.
Yeah. Like,
it's
we're trying to get people, artists,
something outside of Facebook where there's no algorithm. It's just people talking.
Artists, as you know, it's hard to get people to engage, and it's like, so the more we can get people to just go there, upload their stuff, then the network will grow, and, you know, it's just good stuff all around.
And all to get you guys out there.
Yeah, and we're going to have you back with
Joseph
five other
Beast,
bands or something.
Yeah.
It's like, because we want to get Landis in here, we want to get Joseph and the
Landis will be that'll be a fun
because we were in the 90s, you know, late 90s.
We have a band, the next band coming in is Speakers of the House, which is Matt Everhart, Johnny Tamakis, Brian Sims, and Warren Bowes from Almighty Senators.
Oh, nice.
He's the guitar.
Oh, that's right.
They're like a super group.
They're fantastic. They do covers and originals. But we just saw them there. Racers has been having a lot of music lately.
Nice.
And it's been fantastic.
Nice.
But we're trying to do good things for the city. You're doing good things for the
city.
I
appreciate everything y'all are doing. That's so cool.
I'm glad you came. Thanks for coming.
And wait till you see it. It's
going to
be great. Like the end product is wonderful, and it's a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah. Tell your friends. Yeah. Share the posts. I'll invite you to be a collaborator. Just click accept.
Yep. For God's sakes, click accept. Because he'll be like, nobody's clicking accept.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Let's grow together, man.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah. And again, thank you for all that you're doing for the local music and arts scene. We need more people like you. So
we appreciate it, man. And look, just help us. We'll help you. And let's grow together. It's good stuff. You know?
Awesome.
Fantastic. All right. Stay sane, Baltimore.
Yep.
Awesome.
Give me power, not a give and take. Saddle up and grab a number.
give me power, not a ball and chain. Leave it to me, I know the rest. Leave it to me, eyes on the ground. On the ground. We have always been here. We will always be here. We have always been here. We will always be here. Break those bitter fine days. Play your hand with love to the rise above. Lose your marble. Give me power, not a give and take. Collect the debt of fabrication. Give me power, make him say my name. Leave it to me, you pass the test. Leave it to me, keep your eyes on the ground.
Thank you. blame on me. Stories are like seeds. How can I be your garbage and be his gold? How can I be your garbage and be his gold?
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.